Now to our other stories. The Pope will be visiting the U.S. next week, and we'll be taking a look at his itinerary and the kinds of issues he's likely to address while here. And we want to learn more about a departed leader. Bishop S.C. Daddy Madison died last Saturday at the age of 86. He was the leader of the United House of Prayer for All People, based here in Washington, D.C. Joining us here in our studio to talk about all this is Hamil Harris, who's covering both of these stories for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for stopping in.
It's a pleasure to be here, Michelle.
Would you tell us a little bit about the United House of Prayer? I mean, it's a very big force in D.C.,
right,
but it's a national
denomination. Imagine, you know, first of all, when you go to church, you don't expect to see a tuba, trombones, almost a marching band in the name of Jesus. And the House of Prayer for almost 100 years has been a church that's really a phenomenon. It's almost a cultural, just kind of something different. And so here's this church that was started by Daddy Grace. And then it's only been three leaders in 100 years. And, I mean, the ministers, almost like bigger-than-life characters with long hair and entourages and again, this Dixieland band and things
like
that.
And this distinctive artwork outside their houses of worship, which are some of which have been in the Smithsonian.
I mean, exactly.
Amazing angels, these Afrocentric angels.
A gold dome. In fact, the headquarters church is called God's White House. I mean, again, you wonder, it's like, are you worshiping people or are you worshiping God? But they will quickly tell you that it's about God. But even more than the culture and the music and the trombones and the dancing in the house, this church is very wealthy, very affluent. They mix the passion and rawness of New Orleans with the corporate sophistication of Wall Street. They have 25 state churches in 25 states, 150 churches across the country. And again, this is only the third leader to die. So Madison was very unique.
And you say they're very wealthy. What does that mean? Does it mean
have
a lot of real estate or what?
I mean, even in the Washington, D.C. area, I think the church spans about 7 to 8 blocks. You think this is the most prime real estate right in central Washington. The church and its members basically have housing, affordable housing, senior citizen buildings. They even own many malls across the country. So, again, they don't talk a lot about the money side of the church. But, again, this church is worth in the multi-million dollar organization controlled by very few people.
Are they politically influential? You didn't hear. I mean, Daddy Madison is a big figure in D.C., but you didn't see him on the TV.
No.
You didn't see him involved in sort of.
No, they don't play that. It's amazing how they've always kind of remained insulated or disassociated themselves from local politics. But the politicians will be at this funeral because, again, they can count money, votes. And again, the House of Prayer has been influential in politics. They just kind of do it very privately. And that's kind of unique for preachers who like to be seen in the pulpit with the politicians.
Was there a look? You mentioned that all of the leaders had this distinct look. Was that
right,
theological?
This hair. Well, it
this
goes back to Daddy Grace and even the image of calling your minister, your bishop, Daddy. And again, you know, Daddy Grace, who came, I think, from Cape Verde, from the islands and stuff, had this beautiful, long, you know, silky hair. And then Daddy McCullough, which is Walter McCullough the second, he grew the hair and had the beard. And then Madison had the look. Now, according to the people I'm looking who's going to replace him, I don't see that hair coming again. But beyond the image, I mean, it's amazing when they baptize. They have massive baptisms in the streets of Washington with fire hoses and people just, it's almost like a historic Pentecostal scene. But again, when they do their business, it's very serious. There's a board of governors, a council of governors that will make a very serious decision. So again, it's a unique church, especially now when so many things are changing. People don't even know, go to church a lot of times. You have this rawness. I mean,
an intense loyalty and commitment
over
a million members. And perhaps when a successor's name, you'll come back and tell us about that. Now let's move on to the Pope's visit. Is there a lot of excitement about this? He's coming to Washington first.
Oh, sure. I mean,
what's his agenda while here?
Again, first of all, we know, he's going to have the mass at the National Stadium. Maybe they can change their 7-game losing streak around it. He blesses them. And then he's going to meet with the president, of course. And then, but the big thing is for local parishioners of the Catholic Church, it's one thing he's going to do is meet, a Catholic university to talk with the university officials and everybody's saying, is he going to give them this theological spanking to talk about just, really kind of setting the folks on the straight and narrow. But more than that, what we're looking at the Post is, will he connect to ordinary people? Remember the former Pope, I covered him in Baltimore. Will he go to the homeless shelters? Will he not just have a photo op, but will he touch people? Will he really impact people? And I think that's what we want to see, to really know the heart of this man.
We don't hear as much grassroots excitement about this Pope's visit as we did about the prior Pope, right. I mean, who I know that's an overused term, was sort of a rock star. I wonder, right. if that is a function of the fact that he has not been in the position that long,
right.
or is
people,
it a function of personality,
right.
or his biography or what he's interested in?
I know people don't know him. Italy is a long way. And again, you know, it's been so many other things in the world that this Pope has not been the type who would just kind of go out there, be a man of the people as much. And so, again, he's more conservative. He's more kind of behind the scene player, but he's in the United States now. So, again, he knows that he has a big mission to show who he is. And that's what we're wanting to see. What is this man going to do?
Hamil Harris is. Oh, I'm sorry, Hamil. I have time for one more question, which is that he's had some difficulty. I know that he's going to be visiting a synagogue for Passover in
right.
New York. Do you think that outreach to other religions is a big part of this?
I think it's critical because we know he got in trouble with, you know, the Muslim community and his comments he made and the threats against him. And then, you know, I think it's very important for him to show that he's part of a larger community of faith. The question becomes, will he have a private meeting and shake hands at a lunch behind closed doors? Or will he go to a synagogue? Will he go and talk to people in the streets? That's what we want to know.
All right. Hamil Harris is a reporter for The Washington Post. He joined us here in our studio. Hamil, thank you so much. It's so
good
to see you.
It's good to see you, my friend.